Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day you've given us to bring glory to you, to set aside that way we can come to your church and fellowship with your people and hear your word taught and sing praise to your name. I ask that you would just keep us alert in the afternoon service here, and that you would put your hand over Brother Nathan as he brings your word to us, that it may just saturate in our minds, that it will fill us and be with us throughout the rest of this week. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I've immensely enjoyed being in God's house today and worshiping the Lord with y'all. Let's go back to Ephesians 3, and I have a timer. I know it's afternoon service. Let's turn back to Ephesians 3. Go back to a prayer for believers, as is the title of the messages. A prayer for believers. Let me read it again. Verses Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this cause, I don't want you to faint at my tribulations, Ephesians, even though I'm in prison. So for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So we discussed, we talked about that God, that Paul was requesting to God strength for the inner man, and that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith, that their faith would be strengthened, that they would have a heart knowledge, that they, their affections would be stirred for the Lord Jesus Christ, that would not just be a head knowledge. Now his prayer is that the Ephesian saints would be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. The strength for the inner man, if our inner man is strengthened, if we are walking with Christ, if we are striving to follow after Christ, if we are striving to practice those fruits of the Spirit, if we are daily gleaning from His Word, then the rest of this is going to be an outflow from that. It's going to root us and ground us in love. So it has the analogy, the symbolism of a tree with deep roots. So I think of that big tree in our backyard at 816 versus some potted plants. That tree isn't going anywhere. It is deep rooted. It is deep, has a deep foundation, deep into the ground of love. Whereas if a potted plant, if a storm comes, if it's windy enough, it's going to blow all over the place. That tree isn't going anywhere. It is deeply rooted. It also gives the analogy of a foundation, of being grounded, of a foundation. I think of, if you've been to Camp Moriah or Harmony Hill, you've all experienced one of the rainstorms that happens. And we see what happens if you stay in a tent most of the time. you may get, some tents may blow over. But if you're in a cabin, something with a firmer foundation, it's not going anywhere. That's what Paul is likening this to, having a firm foundation. First of all, this is for believers, so it's in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we neglect not only telling the Lord, "Lord, I love you," but do we really think about that? Do we focus on our love for the Lord? That is what our this is what is to hold us together, is our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We know we love Him because He first loved us. And what is the first and greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So that agape love is one of, yes, it's a deep affection. It is of goodwill. It's also of sacrifice. We know that love is going to take sacrifice. And of course, what better way, and Lord willing, I'll get to it later in the message, but what better example of sacrificial, affectionate love than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who willingly gave of Himself because of love. Not because that we merited it, but it was out of love for His Father and love for those that His Father chose in Him before the foundation of the world. So that's Paul's prayer. Paul's prayer is that you would be rooted and grounded, that you would be firmly planted in your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you are going to be persecuted, Ephesian saints. There's already riots that were happening because the Lord radically converted you. The Holy Spirit moved in your hearts to where you were engaged in that witchcraft and engaged in just completely immoral, debaucherous behavior. But God rescued you. But there's going to be some blowback. There's going to be some pushback because now you're a follower of Jesus Christ. So are you swayed by every wind of doctrine? Are you like the double-minded man in that James talks about that's unstable in all of his ways? My prayer, Paul's prayer, is that you will be rooted and grounded in your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what goes hand in glove with love for the Lord? What is that second commandment? How do we know? I talked about how do we know if Christ dwells in our heart? Well, how do we know if we love the Lord? How do we know another way to know that Christ dwells in our heart? We must love one another. Sorry, Jefferson, you got to love me whether you like it or not. But seriously, this can be a great challenge. Let's be honest. We are all depraved. We are all sinners. So at one point or another, I will annoy you or offend you at some point. I hope not, but I will at some point, something, because I'm depraved and you're depraved. And so there's going to be times where if we're not careful, we could grow bitter towards one another. We could say something that hurts somebody's feelings, maybe not even meaning to. And Satan would love to use that to drive little wedges into this church body. You know, the church at Ephesus, to whom Paul is writing, said they left their first love. Said they grew complacent, left their first love. Well, we could grow complacent, or just little wedges of bitterness, little wedges of gossip, little wedges of rumors, little wedges of offenses, and whatever the case may be, of pride. Well, Paul is saying, no. When that person may accidentally offend you or say something against you, you remember when that happens, not if that happens, when that happens, because they're a sinner just like you're a sinner. Your foundation, your tree is rooted. You're the tree. You're not the potted plant. It's rooted in love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're going to be able to overlook them for love. You know, the Word says we are to love not only in word, but in deed and in truth. We are to love each other with a pure heart fervently. Sister Patty, Grandmama, passed away October the 20th of 2020. It was really 2:21 in the morning, so it was kind of Monday night into Tuesday morning. That Saturday night, was really, I guess, maybe the last time that the whole family, all the cousins and everyone gathered around and we got to sing, where she could understand us and she could engage. Got to sing, and then we got to hear from her. And her last will and testament to not only the family, but to Grace Chapel Church, her words were, love each other, love God, love one another, overlook one another for good. I'll never forget that. I try to pray that for this church, that we will overlook one another for good. Aunt Debbie, Abraham played a recording of her at the funeral, and one of her last charges to the family and to Shoal Creek Church was love each other with a pure heart fervently. That's our foundation. Satan is a destroyer. He's a deceiver. He will want to plant seeds of doubt, plant seeds of bitterness, and put a wedge between us. But if our foundation is love, our foundation is a deep-rooted love for the Lord Jesus Christ, a love for His Word, a love for His church, and a love for His people, Satan's plans will be thwarted. You know, we can come to church, we can read the Bible, we can tithe, we can, whatever the case, we can go above and beyond, but if we don't love the brethren and sisters, well, 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, would say, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. 1 John, skip to chapter 3, verse 11. For this is, then I sort of already quoted this, I believe, where he's talking about loving in deed and in truth. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know, how do I know if I love God? We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's sobering. That's sobering. You say you love the Lord, but you're harboring bitterness towards that brother or sister in the church. Be rooted and grounded in love. Love for the Lord. Love for each other. And then, you know, we talk about, hyperbole is something that you may exaggerate something on purpose to make a point. You know, in basketball, if somebody's really athletic, we'll say, man, that guy can jump out of the gym. We can't actually jump out of the gym, but it means he can jump really high. Well, what Paul is saying here is not hyperbole. It is not hyperbole when he says he wants that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. To comprehend. So I want you to be rooted and grounded in your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and in flowing from that, your love for one another. Well, I want you also, Paul is praying, to comprehend or to seize, to take hold of the fact that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God loves you by name, individually. God loves you. Paul wants the saints there and the saints at Grace Chapel to grasp as much as you can God's perfect love for you. Perfect love casteth out fear. This is a love that makes no sense, humanly speaking. Why? Because we are profane and He is holy. We have no merits in and of ourselves. And yet, what does it say? He spared not His own Son. His Son that was holy, harmless, undefiled. Yet He spared not His own Son. God the Father poured out His wrath on Jesus Christ. Why? Out of love. Out of love that makes no sense humanly. It is a divine, supernatural love. Saints, I want you to comprehend that. Seize that. Take hold of that. Ephesians 5, Paul would say, Christ also hath loved us. Well, let me turn there. I believe. Yes, okay. So he's exhorting the saints in Ephesus in chapter 5 to walk in love. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Think about that. You are dear to God. You are dear. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are dear to Him. And he says in verse 2, and walk in love, listen to this, as Christ also hath loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He gave of Himself as an offering to God. Verse 25 of Ephesians 5, when it talks about husbands loving your wives, and we know how the marriage, the husband-wife relationship is to be a picture of Christ and the church. It says, Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. We talked about love, that agape love being sacrificial. Grasp that. God loves you. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth, or you could say He demonstrates. God demonstrates His love toward us. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a cold world out there, y'all. It is, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And as I said earlier this morning, discouragement will happen. It will be easy to faint. But if you're a believer, God loves you. He gave Himself for you individually. Grasp that. Comprehend that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. He says, if we receive the witness of men... I'm in chapter 5, sorry. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifest or was revealed or made apparent the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the satisfaction. Jesus Christ satisfied the wrath, the holy wrath, the holy just wrath of God. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Remember that ought. Ought doesn't mean, well, I really ought to start eating better if I get around to it. No, that ought, it means a necessary duty. It is our necessary duty to love one another. Why? Because God loves us and He gave Himself for us. I want you to know that Christ sacrificed a sacrifice that's beyond compare, that it is a pure and perfect love from the thrice holy God to a guilty, vile sinner. But we know that Satan, who is the deceiver, as I said, the father of lies, he is a destroyer, he loves to devour. What's he going to say? You're hopeless. You sin too much. Did you really just have that thought in church? Did you really just look at that? Did you really just say that or think that about that person? You think Jesus Christ really died for you? That's what Satan's going to say. But here's what we remind Satan of. What did Jesus do when He was dealing with Satan? He went to God's Word. This is what we should do as well. Romans chapter 6. Knowing this, Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon, or consider ye yourselves, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You are dead to sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. Do we still struggle with it? Yes. Will we still struggle with it until the day we die? Yes. But for all intents and purposes, sin has no more dominion over you. And so Satan will try to remind you, you're a hopeless case. You've done too much. But no, Satan, we don't come to you. We don't come in our own righteousness, which is filthy rags. We come pleading the imputed, precious, righteous blood of Jesus Christ, and that he loved me and gave himself for me. That's what we are supposed to be rooted and grounded in. That's supposed to be our foundation. Again, this is not hyperbole. This is not, oh, he can jump out of the gym, when he really can't. When he talks about what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. To know the love of Christ, which is beyond knowing. How do you know something that's beyond knowing? That's how amazing God's love is. He talks about God's breadth, the breadth of his love. God's love is wider than we can imagine, y'all. He loves people from all different backgrounds. Jew and Gentile. Remember, the reason that Paul was cast into prison is because he was saying, look, because of the blood of Christ, he has made peace with Jew and Gentile. All different nationalities and ethnicities. We love our saints in India and Nicaragua and Russia and the Philippines and Asia and Afghanistan and Canada and Memphis, Tennessee and Adamsville, Alabama. God's love, that is the breadth, the wideness of his love. His length, his love lasts for eternity. What does Jeremiah say? I've loved thee with an everlasting love. His love never stops. What about his love being deep? It reaches to the lowest hell. What about the wild Gadarene? Cutting himself. He was fettered and chained. He was completely just oppressed with those demons. What about Mary Magdalene? God's love reaches deeper than you and I can go. I heard the testimony this past week of a man by the name of Beckett Cook. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Beckett Cook. Back in the 90s and I guess early 2000s, he was pretty prominent in Hollywood as a set designer for different movies. He made it big. He was a millionaire. He would have dinner frequently with Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep and all these Hollywood celebrities. Well, he was engaged in the sin of homosexuality. And I think the year was 2005, 2006, something like that. He was at some big dinner party with a whole bunch of Hollywood actors. He had won different awards for his amazing work in set designing and some photography and things like that. Well, he just said, I've never felt more empty when I got this latest award. I never felt more empty, and I knew there had to be more to life than this. Well, God put in his path Christians. God saved his life maybe 2007, 2008. He lost his career, which is not surprising. He is the happiest man you just from interviews, and he just wrote a book called A Change of Affections that I want to read. His name is Beckett Cook. He's going around now ministering to those engaged in that same sin, and just also encouraging churches and Christians to stand strong and stand firm for truths of God's Word. God's love reaches deeper than you and I could go. And just know this. Well, I've never done that. I've never done what Beckett Cook has done or what the Wildcat Arena has done, so I'm not that bad. If you're guilty of one sin, if you offend the law at one point, you're guilty of the whole law. God's love is amazing. Back to Ephesians chapter 3. All right. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, we are in Christ partakers of His divine nature. We will never truly know the fullness of God until we get to heaven. And I cannot help but remember what one of the last things that Jonathan Poe told his father when he knew it was imminent that he was about to die. He said, I'm just ready to see things the way God sees them. I'm ready to see things the way God sees them. Well, in eternity, we'll be able to do that. We'll really be able to experience the fullness of God. But while we're still here, and while Christ tarries until He returns, we need to experience as much of the fullness of God as possible, which simply means, I believe, we are pursuing Christ with everything we have. We are following Him with everything we have. Colossians says, "For in Him," or in Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So what does that mean? The closer we draw to Christ, the more of the fullness of God we will enjoy. What does John say in John 1:16? Of His fullness have we received, and grace for grace. Remember, let's talk about it means it's like a wave of the ocean. You get waves after wave after wave of grace. Pursue hard after Christ. Enjoy as much of His fullness now as you can. And just know that one day you will be like Him if you are in Christ. You will see Him as He is. You will see things the way God sees them. And then he ends, as Paul does so often, with a doxology. A doxology, children, means simply an expression or an outburst of praise to God. "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." And then remember that dynamite power, that dunamis. According to what? According to the power that worketh in us. You know, it's important that we remember the background of where Paul was coming from. He was once a hater, a persecutor of Jesus Christ's people. A hater of Christ. He was causing men and women to blaspheme. You know, he must have been inflicting some type of pain. He was wreaking havoc on the church. He was coming and finding men and women and taking them away from their children, from their houses. And we know, of course, he was on his way on that Damascus road to do some more persecuting of Christians until the Holy Spirit changed everything. So it takes that love. It takes a love that is exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think to make somebody who was such a persecutor of Jesus Christ to be the greatest defender of Jesus Christ this world has ever known. So I hope that this verse, our pastor quotes it all the time. I hope it's not just something we roll off the tongue as in some sort of mindless habit. And know that this is not hyperbole, that He is able. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, that divine power that worketh in us. And then he closes really in verse 21 with really the whole purpose of the prayer and really the whole purpose for the entire letter. And that was for the glory of God through His church. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Paul's deepest yearning, and may our deepest yearning be that Christ would be glorified in His church. He, after all, He's the head, He's the husband. And so may His purposes, may His glory be what we pursue in His church. Well, again, we know what happened with the church of Ephesus. It says in Revelation that they left their first love. So I want to encourage you, church, let's not leave our first love. Let's be rooted and grounded in love for the Lord and love for each other. And then may we be able to comprehend the great love He has for us. And again, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ today, or if you've never made a profession of faith in Him, my prayer is that He would do work in your heart that only He can do. That dunamis power that only comes from Him. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for allowing us to worship in Your house today. Thank You for Your church. Lord, it's kind of scary and sobering to think that the church that Your Son, Jesus Christ, set up, that we have been entrusted to